Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We're actually going to have Jim Karas on now. Yeah, we'll get Jim Karas on the line here. I thought he was after 11:30, but I'm thrilled to have Jim Karas joining us now, Republican candidate for the 10th Congressional District. Hello, Mr. Karas. Thanks for hopping on with us.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. You've got a unique, interesting personal history story as well. And I wanted to start there just because I saw this video on your campaign website. Can you please, I know it must be tough to talk about, but recall the details of you were part of a plane hijacking, weren't you, when you were a young boy?
I was. Thanks for taking a look at that.
Yeah
that was, not too many people can say that, you know, that they've been hijacked. So I was with my family, my parents. My dad's a Greek immigrant, and he came here alone when he was 20 years old, and saved up for a number of years, and then took us all back to Greece to meet his family for the first time. And so my mother was there. I have an older sister and two younger brothers, and my mom was pregnant with a third at that point, my youngest brother. And we were on a flight from Rome to Athens, and they announced that the Popular Front of the Liberation of Palestine, some of the same people who are, doing their thing in the Middle East again, hijacked the plane. And so, obviously, they had weapons on them. Shortly thereafter, there were fighter jets alongside of the plane, and we were concerned that they were going to blow us out of the sky as we approached land. So they took us over Israel and then forced a landing in an isolated airstrip outside of Damascus, Syria. And we evacuated on those inflatable slides that you read about on the safety cards running through the desert. They blew up the front of the plane, separating the men from the women, and then the interrogated people, and they negotiated our release. So we were held hostage in the middle of Damascus, Syria for a day or so.
My
and
gosh.
It was incredibly scary. And, you know, what brought the feelings back, and part of the reason I told that story was the tragedies of October 7th and what happened in Israel at Hamas hands. And so those feelings came flooding back. And so since that point, I've been demanding the release of the hostages.
Well, it's an incredible story. Thank God you and your dad. Was your mother with you guys too?
My mom was. Yeah.
Everyone's safe, though, out of that.
The whole family. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Safe after that. Yeah, my mother has since passed. She passed 2 years ago.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. And actually, do you mind if we put you on hold? I got to take a quick commercial break. You'll hang on, though, with us, right, Jim?
Sounds great. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to get to some policy questions, but I wanted to open with that because that certainly frames how someone operates for the rest of their life, and certainly with October 7th on people's minds as well. Okay, Jim Karas joins us now. Continue our conversation. He's running for Congress in the Illinois 10th as a Republican. Jim, I'm going through your website, KarasForCongress.com. That's with two R's. And you have these tabs about the issues you care about. I see one about environment and energy independence, where you talk about, you know, finding alternative energy sources, about how Lake Michigan is in your district or alongside it, and how important it is to protect that. Reproductive rights, you are pro-choice, and that a woman's health care decision should be made between her and her health care provider. Jim, right. I have a weird... Are you lonely in your Republican Party these days?
Well, I tell you what, it's we've gotten support across the board, both from the right side of the, you know, the far right of the party, as well as the centrists and the moderates. People are hungry for common sense right now, and they think my platform makes good sense. So we are getting support across the board.
You mentioned your father, a Greek immigrant. What a great story, and the American dream, truly. And Jim, you talk about in your immigration policy platforms, you believe in the process of immigration, but they must do through legal channels, which I think a lot of people nod along to, right? Would you agree that we do need to really change how this process works, though? I mean, when your father came, God bless him, it was a lot easier for people just to immigrate to the United States. Not saying it was easy, but just legally it was less hoops to go through. It's very hard for people to legally come to the United States these days. It's not like how it was for our grandparents and great-grandparents. What do you think about trying to expand the legal channels here?
We need to. We need to streamline it. There are people waiting around 8-10 years doing it the right way. And so we've got to rely on technology, streamline things, do, you know, the background checks of people in their former countries to find out, to make sure that they're, you know, law-abiding citizens. But we definitely knew. And that's part of my plan, is to reform immigration. You know, I went down to the southern border because I wanted to see from my own eyes what was happening. You know, the media, no offense, you know, they're so polarized anymore that I wanted to experience it. And what I saw down there was tragic. You know, we've had these open doors, and the only people benefiting are the cartels. These poor people coming for the American dream, they're suffering. I heard stories from Crisis Intervention Center down there. I visited the sheriff, the Crisis Intervention, the hospital, food bank. And they talk about children being, you know, molested and beaten and wandering through the desert. It's just, it's sad, and it's not the way it's supposed to be. And then we bring them up to, you know, cities throughout the country, and we're not, you know, we're offering to take care of them to a certain extent, but we have no social infrastructure for them. And then the locals, the people who have been here for a while, are suffering. They're seeing, and the people who are trying to go through the immigration process are experiencing you know, frustration as well.
Would you have voted for and wanted Speaker Johnson then to bring to the floor the bipartisan bill that was killed by former President Trump?
Well, I think it was a start, frankly, but what it didn't go into was the comprehensive immigration reform that we were talking about. That more or less dealt with the immediacy of the southern border.
Sometimes a start is a start, though.
It is. It is. Absolutely. It's a start. And keep in mind, though, that this thing was created by the current president, you know, in the first couple of days, signing executive orders opening up the border. So he could have gone ahead and issued an executive order and closed it back down until we get things squared away. So the fault goes around to everyone, I think.
Was the 2020 election stolen?
Well, I tell you what, we have a president now. I don't know where he's at. I haven't seen him for a few days, but we have a president who's created a problem with our economy, a problem with our
I'm watching a video of him live on TV at the White House right now.
He's and our wars.
Was the 2020 election stolen? I mean, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot so directly.
I believe he was elected as the president, and frankly, he's created a lot of problems, and that's part of the reason why I'm running. Is to improve our economy, work on our public safety, and work on our national security. There have been wars breaking out, I think, because of a weak and feckless foreign policy.
Duly and fairly elected president.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Fairly.
And I appreciate
that. I want to make sure. And this next cycle, we need to make sure it's duly and fairly elected, and that every vote that's cast is counted.
Yeah, a lot of your positions are really common sense things that I think a lot of people agree with as I scroll through. And I encourage people to look at everything that you post at KarisForCongress.com. Who are you voting for president this year?
Well, I am first and foremost concerned about my own candidacy. I'm a first-time candidate. I've given up a lot to run. My family has. My wife and I decided this, that we wanted to do it for our children's futures. And as we go forward, we're going to make that decision and who we think is best for the country.
So you haven't decided yet, is basically what you're saying.
I'm leaning towards the Republican nominee.
Okay. What do you think about constituency services? That's a huge part of being a congressman, as I'm sure you know and hope to be. Do you feel like the 10th district is represented well that way now, or do you plan to change maybe how things are done in the office locally?
Well, I think it could use improvement. We've had a congressman there for 10 years who that's table stakes, frankly. That's minimal of what they need to do, a congressperson needs to do, which is make sure passports are done on time, to expedite any issues that come before the congressman. But it's the voting record that's really critical. The gentleman who's in office now has taken a stand. First of all, he won't debate me. I don't know why he's hiding, but he will not debate me. We've called for debates for several weeks now, and we've got serious issues to talk about in front of our constituents. But he is voted on virtually 100% with Nancy Pelosi. This is not a liberal San Francisco district. This is a common sense, middle of the road, independent district. And, you know, he's voted, he comes here and he says he's middle of the road, but then he votes in Congress one way. So as critical, if not more critical, to serving as a congressman, it's the day-to-day, yes, handling problems for constituents, but it's really the voting record and where you vote and protecting, you know, the lives and the best interests of the constituents that's key in Congress.
Jim Karas, we're out of time, though. I do appreciate you coming on, sharing your story and sharing your opinions on these things, and I hope you come on again, okay?
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.